Lord, thank you. Raise me up to more than I can be, because without him I can be nothing. But with him, just imagine what can happen. Is it on? Okay, we're good. All right. So just tonight, you know, we talk about faith and different things, you know. And sometimes, you know, we just don't feel really like we've just got a lot of faith. But we're no different than the people of old, the people in the Bible. You know, we don't have to put this on the screen, but Mark 11:22 says, have faith in God. A Young's translation says, have the faith of God.
Wow.
How come, you know, let's have the faith of God in our lives. Let's shoot for that. Let's go that direction. Because when we have the faith of God, it says, you know, we have the faith of God, it transferred in our spirits. It's transferred in our spirits, the faith of God is, when we hear the Word.
Amen.
The Word. You know, it says in Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. We have to be constantly in the Word to be built up and to keep our faith bolstered so that we can face the day-to-day living. Now, you know, natural faith or whatever is a condensed version out of the dictionary is trust or confidence in someone or something. So we have a complete understanding of things we can see. We understand we can walk up and look at a chair and discern whether it's going to be good for our weight and those kind of things, because we can sense it, we can touch it, we can feel it, we can be a part of it. Or we can have trust in someone because we have confidence in the things in their past and how they've presented themselves, so we take and we trust them. You know, and a few weeks ago, Johnny Malone, he's been working here, and he wanted to get the East cafeteria roof repaired. Well, he called me, and we talked about it, and I really didn't have any idea when I could come. But I said we would do it, and he said, okay. So if someone said, is that going to happen? He'd say, yeah. And they say, when? Well, I don't know. He just had to have confidence that it was going to happen. So it rocked along there, and we talked two or three different times. I couldn't give him a definite answer. But he had to have confidence, the natural confidence and faith, in that it was going to happen. Well, last Tuesday it happened, but he called me the week before, and we talked, and I said, I'll be there Tuesday. And so now he had something solid to stand on. Tuesday's the day. Well, you know, everything is barring anything that happens. But I mean, but it happened. So he had confidence and faith that even though that few week period transpired, that nothing happened, finally it manifested and did. So with God, we have to understand that if we want things to transpire, we have to stay with it, write it out, and we have to stay in the words, because it says, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. We cannot draw away from that. We cannot regress from that. We have to stay hooked up with that in order to keep our faith built up. And if you would put Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 on there, and that's where we'll, you know, kind of go with this on the faith thing. And so, with God, the superiority of the faith way is this in Hebrews, and it's all the way from 11 to 1, chapter 11 through 1 through 40. But we're going to do, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's the substance of things hoped for. It's the proof of what we can't see. But that's sense in reality. Because if it's in the spirit, or if it's, we don't see it, but we sense it. If we can touch it with and realize it with our five physical senses, then we have it. So we have to sense it. We know that it's true because we know that God's Word is true, because the Spirit has been imparted into us and we understand that God's Word is true. So we have faith in the fact that what God said is going to happen is going to happen whenever. You know, none of us sitting here experienced heaven. Someday we will. We have that faith, that eternal hope, because of the fact that Jesus came down, died on the cross, and made a way where before there was no way. Okay, so anyway, now then, it is the faith of God that draws the blessings of God. And then once again in Hebrews 11, verse 6, I've flipped off there, but let's go back to Hebrews 11, verse 6. And everybody knows it probably better than I do, but we'll look at it anyway. Let's see, chapter 11, verse 6. Got to go back one, 12. It says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him," which is God, "for he that comes to God must believe that He is God, and that He is the rewarder of those that diligently seek Him."
Yeah.
So, we have to diligently seek Him. And when we're diligently seeking Him and understanding that He is the rewarder, then we understand that it's the faith of God that draws the blessings to us. So we want to stay in the Word. We want to receive the knowledge. We want to understand and bolster our faith so that we can constantly be receiving the blessings and moving forward in our lives. And we have to understand that where God sends His Word, that's where He can produce what's been promised in our lives. So, in Psalms 107:20, we don't necessarily have to go there unless you want. It said, "He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction."
Amen.
He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. So, where God sends His Word, that's where it can produce what He's promised.
Yeah.
If He sends it, it'll produce what is promised, because He said it won't return to me void.
Amen.
So we have to go there. Now then, a lot of times, you know, we're involved in stuff. Well, you know, on your car, you have a dipstick and you can check your oil. And if you pull that dipstick out and it's a quart low, your car will function pretty good on that quart low without too much problem. If it's 2 quarts low, it'll function, but it could possibly begin to be problems because it's not optimum capacity for performance.
Yeah.
Well, in our lives, we may need to have a little bit of way of looking to see where we're at in our faith, to see where we need to bolster it up. You know, I'm talking to me. Not every day do I get up and feel real faithful and spiritual. You know, sometimes you got to work it up, and it sounds pretty dry in the beginning. So we have to get in there and get involved. So if you would go to Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41. Is where I'll go now. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41. And that's where Jesus stills the storm. Okay? It said, "In the same day," the day when He, if you look back and read before, "the same day when the evening come, He said unto them, let us pass unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him, even as He was, unto the ship. And there were also with Him other little ships." So it wasn't just the ship that He and the disciples were on. There was a bunch of ships and they were getting ready to go across. "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, and so that it was now full." It was beginning to fill up with water. It was beginning to get to capacity. It was a very strained situation. And so it was so strained, the disciples, a lot of them were fishermen. They understood the sea. They knew that they were in peril at that moment, because the storm was not letting up. There was destruction headed their way. "And He," Jesus, "was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake and saw unto Him, Master, carest thou not that we perish?"
Wow.
Now we know where their faith was, because they said, "Don't you care that we're getting ready to perish?" Well, you know, Jesus was asleep because He had that peace that passes understanding. When they got on the ship, He said, "Let us pass into the other side." He planned on getting on that ship here and going to the other side. He did not plan on going down somewhere in the middle between. So, what we have here is to understand that Jesus was in the boat with them physically. And they were still having issues figuring it out because they were looking at the natural. They understood storms. They understood the things that were happening around them. And so many times, I know I am, and I know probably a lot of us, we get caught up in what we're sensing, what we're seeing, what we're experiencing, and we forget to call on the One who can call it peace be still.
Yeah.
You know, and what He really wants us to do, I believe, is for us to say, peace be still. We'll calm our spirits because He is inside us.
Yeah.
And then we can begin to move forward and think clearly. Well, in this, we understand that they were probably 4 quarts low. They were not there. You understand what I'm saying? They were in perilous times. They were barely lubricating the place and making it run. Okay? And then it said, "He arose and He rebuked the wind, and He said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." He didn't get up, jump out, and start saying, "Somebody grab a bucket and start bailing. What's going on? Why are you guys just standing here?" He knew what to do because he, not only because he was Jesus, but he only did what God told him, his Father, and he only said what God, his Father, said to do. He spoke to that storm and called it, "Peace be still." Now, you know that if this ship was in peril, the other ship was in peril, the ones that were with them as well. And so there was a lot of stress going on. There was a lot of things going on. So in our lives, that's why it's so important to understand this. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. We don't have, in the days that we live, we don't have an opportunity to spend any time to speak of outside of the Word. We need to be in it as much as possible so that we can have strength and the ability to go on and do the things that we need to do with the confidence. And then he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?"
Wow, help me, Lord.
They were in the no faith zone. They were caught up in the physical and what they were seeing and experiencing, and they understood that. And then I'll go ahead with this other verse. And he's in 41, and it said, "They feared exceedingly and said to one another, 'What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" Now that fear there was not a reverence. They were fearful. They didn't know who, or they couldn't figure out exactly how and who they were in the presence of at that time, and how that this man had the ability to speak to the wind and the storm, and it would respond. Okay, now then, let's go to Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 through 33, and we'll go to another level. Matthew 14, 22 through 33. All right, now then, Jesus walks on the water, and Peter has a little faith, okay? It says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get in the ship and go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away." And when one thing right there, he said he told him to get in the ship and go to the other side, and "I'm going to send the multitudes away, and I'll see you over after a while." There was no other ship there at that time, so they didn't even bother to say, "Well, Jesus, how are you going to get there?" Or if they did, it wasn't recorded if they had that conversation or if it was a part of the deal. And so when he sent the multitudes away, he went up unto the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. You know, Jesus always took an opportunity to get away and pray and to be alone with his Father. And we are no different. We are urged to do the same. We need to take the time and the opportunity to always be able to find time to get alone so that we can get with God, get with the Word, and get ourselves ready for the things ahead and the time and whatever He has for us to do in our lives. Okay. All right. Now then he went on, he said, "But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, and it was tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary." Okay. "In the fourth night," or the fourth watch of the night, "Jesus went unto them walking on the sea." So somewhere between 3 or 6 a.m. somewhere, here comes Jesus walking across the water in the stormy water. "And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a spirit,' and they cried out in fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, 'Well, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." Don't be afraid, it's me. And of course, you know, you've heard people go, "Well, here's Peter. He's one of the rambunctious one, always opens his mouth before he thinks," so they say. "And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water.'" Wow. Think about that. How would you ever even think that? If you saw Jesus walking across the water, would the Spirit rise up in you enough to say, "Hey, I want to walk out there to you"? I don't know. That's, you know, in our minds, we're dealing with the fact that we know that gravity says water don't hold you.
That's right.
And you're going down. But Peter, caught up in the moment, his faith bolstered, said, "Hey, tell me to come out there." And, you know, Jesus didn't say, "Silly boy, walking on water is only for gods." He said, "Come, come." He did. He wanted him to come. And so what happened? "And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus." He walked on the water. He stepped out of that ship and was walking on that water the same as he was walking on dry land. That is, you know, You think of where his faith level had reached at that point to see Jesus coming across that water. First they thought it was a ghost or a spirit. And then, when he said, "No, no, it's me, it's Jesus." Boom, boy, within Peter, the Spirit rose up and he said, "Bid me to come." And he came, and away he went. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying to the Lord, "Save me." When he began to take his focus off of God, off of Jesus, off of the focal point, this is where I'm going.
Yeah, that's right.
And he began to hear the wind and see the wind and see the waves. And all of a sudden reality came in. But even at this point, he only began to sink. He did not sink down. He began to sink. See, a lot of times we struggle in life as only our faith is strong enough to keep us up. So we struggle. We need our faith to be bolstered. We need to be one with this Word and to have it instilled in us and hidden in our heart so that our faith level will be up to where we can walk on the water and that we're not beginning to sink, because a lot of times life will throw us some curves and we begin to sink and feel the pressure. But we still have a faith, and we've started that walk with a determination and intent to take off, and I'm going to accomplish this because I feel like God is leading me this direction this way. And yet we get out there and maybe it's a little longer and a little further, and we're going, "Well, this didn't happen yet. Well, I thought it would be easier. I thought it would be done now. How has it been 3 years? You know, how has it been this?" You know, we can't take our eyes off of the goal, and that's Jesus. And so he began to take, and so he began to sink as his faith began to wane. And says, immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand in verse 31, caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And then it says, when he came back into the ship, the wind ceased. When he came back into the ship, the wind ceased. The storm laid down. But he had little faith. We can't say that he didn't walk on the water. We can't, you know, people go, "Well, Peter sank." Well, no. No, he had this huge burst of faith that rose up inside of him. And we all do that occasionally. And then we get out there and start walking that walk. And we get to button heads with the world. And then what happens? We begin to kind of feel the pressure, and we begin to back off a little bit. It begins to wane a little bit, you know. And so we need to understand that we continue on. See, Peter, later on in Acts, wow, man stood up and brought a sermon. 3,000 people were brought to the church that day, you know. So we may have moments when we're in struggle, but we will always have the opportunity to get closer to God and bring that back up. Now I'd like to go to Matthew 8, chapter 8, verse 5 through 13. Chapter 8, verse 5 through 13. Jesus healed the centurion's servant. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, "Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy and grievously tormented." And Jesus said unto him, "I will come and heal him." He was ready to get up and go at that moment. But the centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." Speak the word only. "For I am a man under authority." Now he's going to tell you how he understands words and what they mean and how he understands the power of words spoken by the right people. It says, "For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goes. And I say to another, come here, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it." So he understands. And then he goes on, and Jesus goes on verse 10 says, "When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, those that are around him, he said, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." Not in all of the covenant people has he found the faith that this centurion soldier came forth with. So we have the great faith. And so in so doing, it said, he said, he goes on and he says, I say unto you, in verse 11, that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into the outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And in chapter 13, and Jesus said unto this centurion, go thy way, thou hast believed, so it be done unto thee. And his servant was healed in that self same hour. We have an example of no faith, little faith, and great faith.
Wow.
You know, we have to understand, apparently, one of the things, we understand we're under authority. We're under God's authority. And we do what He says, we say what He says, we act when He says, we do our best. But we do that by the Word of God. The Word of God brings the strength. You know, great faith, it sounds easy. You know, I mean, that sounded really simple right there. But if you got something that's going on in your life that's hard to deal with or negative, or if you have things going on, you know, it's easy to start having fear and doubt and those kind of things begin to come to you. You know, you have to get up every morning and you have to stay centered on the Word of God, whatever your situation is. You know, if you're looking for salvation, you need to hear the Word of salvation. If you're looking at restoration in the family, you need to hear the promises God made about restoring the family. You need to hear what God says about physical healing, finances. God plays a part in all of these parts of our lives. He's interested in every aspect of it. And so, when we're dealing with something that is tremendous, it's hard to stay focused, you know, at times. But if we know who God is, and we knew who we are with Him, then it makes it easier because we can look up to Him because He is an authority over us. And He will work with us and be with us. It says, you know, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Okay? So, the deal is you have to hear the Word, you have to hear the Word, you have to hear the Word. Whatever you're going through, find the Word that deals with that. Find what God has to say about that. Put that in your spirit. Because your spirit is where your faith is going to grow and be able to manifest into your natural walk. You know, it's nice to have confidence in people. You know, people have confidence in me. I've let people down before. You know, because I'm only me. And I'm not always, you know, that person that needs to be. Maybe sometimes it's just that I've overloaded my agenda. Can't do it. You know, or whatever. But needless to say, we need to stay in that Word because hearing the Word, 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 you can't hear it enough. You cannot hear the Word of God enough. So if you've got everything going on in your life and it seems to be even and running on a nice plane, get the Word so that when things begin to come your way, you can challenge those things with the sword of the Spirit and begin to do battle with them so that you can be ready to go, so that you can build yourself up to that great faith level. You know, we've all got the mustard seed of faith, but we have to develop that into something. And that's what the Word of God does. The Word of God is everything that we need to do whatever we need to do in this world today. So if you hear the Word, faith gets stronger. Fear gets weaker. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. I've heard that a few years ago. I've got it wrote down in front of my book. And that is a very true statement. And sometimes it don't take much to taint that to begin to wane off. And so we need to stay in the Word of God all the time to the best we can. I wish I could tell you how it all going on. I'm speaking to me as much as I am to anyone else. I need the Word. I need the Word. You know, and when we're going through things in life, we don't want to give place to the devil. You know, if you're dealing with some catastrophic thing in your life, whether I don't care what it is, you know, you don't have a place to let strife get involved. Sometimes when we're dealing with things, all of a sudden, what do? Well, my wife don't appreciate me. My husband don't appreciate me. My family don't appreciate me. You know, the people I work with don't appreciate me. We get into strife. Well, see, that's a tool of the enemy to keep us distracted. what those things are going on, let's get over them. Because usually if there's something going on and strife has a little crack in the door, we play into it and then it becomes our problem. So when we're dealing with the enemy, we cannot allow his tools to come against us and use us and distract us so that we're walking on the water strong and headed right, and then we begin to see the things around us and start looking at things and maybe even, you know, having things come in. We have got to stay focused on the Word of God and what He has for us to do. Because we have a purpose. I don't care who we are. You know, we've got a purpose in this life. And it, you know, everybody in here is going to touch somebody that's never going to come through these doors that we won't have an opportunity to see here. And so we have a purpose just to be a light, whatever that may be in this life. And we want to guard our heart and protect our heart. In the New Living Translation, Proverbs 4:23 says, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life."
Wow.
It determines the course of our life, our heart, our spirit, our inner man, our person that God has made new. It projects us in a course of our life and where we're going to go. We always need to be on guard to keep it right and to keep it safe, because we can't afford to let strife get in. We can't afford to let the mealy-mouthed things of life that don't matter put pressure on us to where we lose our focus on God.
Yeah.
And the things that are ahead of us.
Help us, Lord.
And you know, I mean, it's you know, sometimes it can start at 7 o'clock in the morning and can pressure can be on, you know. All it takes is a phone call. It don't take much. But we have to be aware of that and get up in the morning and guard our hearts. You know, I have spent years at odds with my son. You know, we're just too much alike. But lately, you know, and when I say he's too much alike, he's either hard to get along with or he's the greatest guy you ever know. Okay?
Just like you.
Just like me. That's right, brother. So, you know, but just of late in the last months or year, I'm beginning to understand that.
Wow.
And beginning to be able... Now, there's days you probably wouldn't believe that. But beginning to put a handle on that and understand that that's the red button that the enemy pushes.
Mm-hmm.
When we get together, there can be... You know, that's the nuclear bomb button that can set something off. And I'm starting to guard my heart against that to a certain extent. You know, I haven't conquered it. You know, we get up every day and renew ourselves to the things of God. You know, we have to. We have to renew our minds. And so, in the constant renewing, things change. Sometimes they're mild changes, very, you know, small changes in our lives. Sometimes, you know, when my son began to change, he was a rough and rowdy guy for a while. You know, you would, if you met him in a period of time, you'd say, "Wow, that guy is really rough around the edges." But boy, he was polished compared to what he was another time in his life.
Bless him, Lord.
And God is mighty in those things. But those things are not accomplished by me hammering him and saying, "You need to be on time. How come you're late? What's going on over here? Can't I sit?" You know, no, that don't get it. You know, and I would fall prey to that kind of stuff. Now, I mean, I'd like to tell you that life is always like this, you know, but but I'm learning now. I'm learning now. If you're late, just let it go. Say, "Lord, wake him up tomorrow."
Yeah.
If he's not going to be on time, don't let him oversleep. Wake him up.
Yeah.
You know, don't make him be up doing something.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
Definitely.
I mean, there's those things, and I'm telling you, that is not just my boy. It's hard to find people who can be on time anymore. You know, in this world we live in. But you know, with them, I don't have to deal with them. After the fact, with my son, you know, we have things. But God is working them out only because we're walking that direction. We're purposely making some changes. Now, I'm going to probably tell you Monday morning, I'm going to have to really walk tight, because to sit here and make confessions and make how God's wonderful in doing things, it's going to be a challenge tomorrow.
Yes, it is.
But you know what? I'm already preparing for that. Because I want the relationship that God wants us to have. You know, and you say, "Well, how many years has it been?" Well, it's been a long time. But that relationship can be restored if I'm willing. If I'm willing, then I will make the changes I need to make, and I guarantee you I'll look at it, the situations in our life in different eyes and through different way. It will be different. We need to guard our hearts. We need to always be on guard against the things the enemy brings in our lives, because our heart sets the course. It sets the way. The Holy Spirit of God lives inside of us. Let's let Him have His place. Let's let the Lord work. Let's let the things of God rise up in us so that we can have the Holy Spirit come into this place in such a way to touch each and every life here, to raise everyone up into a different plane, a different place. And for those that come in, they'll walk in here and it might be the smiles and the handshakes, but it'll also be, they'll go, what is that? They might not even know the Spirit of God, but they will if they hang around long enough. That's what we're after tonight, is to get ourselves in a position, you know. We want to stick the dipstick in our heart and find out where we're at. We want to come out, and if we're a little bit low, the Word. The Word is what's going to fill us up. The Word is what's going to make the difference. Tonight, it's been an opportunity to come and to speak to you, and I appreciate that. If there's anything that y'all need any prayer for, you can come forward for it, and we'd be glad to pray with you. But my encouragement is for you to get in the Word, to get... I mean, I know most of you probably could know more Word than I do. But my encouragement is tonight is, if you're not, do it. If you are, continue on, because we need to be able to do battle and to do battle with the Word of God, because the Word is where there's the power. And we sing all those blood songs. If we make much of the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus will make much of us.
Amen.
God bless you all.
You all don't... I know you know this. Liberty Baptist Church is a church in transition. God moving upon us. We can just sit around and pray, Lord, send somebody in here, do this thing, that thing, and another thing. God must move on every one of us. You're seeing a man... I've watched him for a long time now, but especially since January of this year, coming every morning, every evening, that he's able to be there whenever he's not working 12 or 14 hours a day. And then I've been watching him on Sundays whenever we're coming together, and he's back in the junior church, and he's back there during the time for Sunday school. Gloria has been aware of that and been watching him back there at that time. I've been seeing things that are beginning to change and things that are beginning to happen because he says, well, I'm just a man, but I'm willing to stand in this. I'm willing, God. And the reason he's doing that is because the Word is working mightily in him. It's a marvelous thing. And we know that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And we're hearing the Word of God tonight. We're hearing Jesus speak to us. And this, our brother, has been willing to come and let Jesus speak through him. We're going to sing a song that is Jesus paid it all. But it starts off with the words that says, I can hear my Savior say. And that's why we've gathered together. To hear our Savior say about the things that are happening in our lives. It'd be marvelous if we just, when we came together, everything just got better and better and better. And wow, pretty soon we were so blue, pure, perfect. And people were to come over here and they'd say, oh, let's go to Liberty Baptist. They're so blue, pure, perfect. But being blue, pure, perfect doesn't change the world. Faith changes the world. Let's all...